The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." We don't recognize it in these verses, but being the mother of Jesus meant that Mary faced 3 major problems that she would have in her life. First problem is that Mary would have a bad reputation, not only surrounding the conception and birth of Jesus, but literally for the rest of her life. We know that from these scriptures that Mary was a virgin when the Holy Spirit conceived the child of God within her. But other people would have just seen Mary as one more teenager who got pregnant. One more woman who made a mistake and had a child as a result. And human nature being what it is, anybody here ever lived in a small town? Okay, you know that anytime you make a mistake, you live with it forever because everybody always repeats it and remembers it and says it about you. Well, that was true of Mary. And for the rest of her life, she was known as that woman. Even Jesus, 30 years later, when he began his ministry, using today's language, he was the son of that woman. And so she had to deal with the stigma that she would give to her son and herself. Well, how this becomes relevant to us is the fact that all of us have done some things we're not proud about. All of us have done some things we just as soon forget, but people won't let us forget. And if that's the case, I want you to consider God's promise to every one of us, mothers and non-mothers, dads, children alike today. 2 Corinthians verses 5, 16 through 19. Let's read that together. "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them." This, to me, is one of the greatest scriptures in all of the New Testament. It's God's promise that not only when we came to Christ did he forgive us of our sins, but he forgot our sins as well. In other words, he chose to no longer hold them against us. And this promise is important because just like Mary, in terms of the reputation that she had among people, we've all done things that we regret. And sometimes those things are such that if we are a parent now, we feel disqualified to be a parent because of some of the things in our past. But rather than feeling disqualified, we now have 2 goals that we can shoot for because of promises like that that we see on the screen. Number one, we can encourage our children not to make our mistakes and teach them the wisdom from the lessons we had to learn in life. And number two, when they do make those mistakes, as every one of them will, we can teach them, just as we've learned, that God is a mercy, a God of mercy and grace and forgiveness and restoration. The second problem that Mary had, in addition to having a bad reputation, Mary would be poor. Most of us don't realize how poor that Mary and Joseph were as they had to struggle with raising this child that God gave them. Part of the proof is that when they went to the temple as a baby and brought Jesus, Mary and Joseph offered two doves. That was the poorest of the poor. That was the offering that if you had literally nothing, that at least you could give that. When they fled to Egypt, they had to leave in the middle of the night. And that meant they could only carry with them what they could carry on your backs. Imagine if somehow tonight you had to leave your home on a moment's notice. How much could you take with you? Especially if you had to leave your credit card behind. Okay? You'd be pretty poor. Later, when they returned to Israel during Jesus' early years, everything they accumulated in Egypt, they had to leave and start all over again. And that meant that Mary would be poor for much or all of her life. There are a lot of women today who can relate to Mary. Because when it comes to having money, our culture encourages us to buy all the right things for our children. And sometimes we just don't have the money to buy all the right things. Well, if that describes you, I want you to take heart from a story from Reader's Digest. Jean Barron was a single mom. She lived with her teenage son in an old mobile home. It was structurally unsound. The plumbing leaked. There were some roof leaks. It was just a place that was not good to raise a child, much less bring some friends to. And Jean was ashamed of her house because the place was in such a bad shape. One day, her son's best friend, who lived in a very wealthy home, who had all the material possessions that anyone could ever want, chose to run away from home. And Jean, as a single mom, was puzzled. She said, I just don't understand that. And her son, even though her son was a teenager, said some very wise words. He said, Mom, at their house, they have a lot of environment, but not very much love. In our home, we have a lot of love, but not much environment. Given the choice, which would you rather have? And so today, no matter how financially strapped you may be, like Mary, I urge you to give your children what is most important: your love, your time, your attention, and most of all, your relationship with Christ. The third problem that Mary faced was that she would be a single mom. After Jesus was born, the Bible teaches us that Joseph raised Mary, and they had several Mary and they had several other children. He became the stepfather of Jesus. The last time Joseph is mentioned in the Bible is when Jesus is 12 years old. And that's why most scholars believe that sometime during the early teenage years of Jesus, Joseph died. And when that happened, Jesus, as the oldest male in the family, had to take on the responsibility of providing for his family. And thus he became the carpenter that we know of in Scripture. But when that happened, that also meant that Mary became a single mom who raised at least four children by herself. My mom didn't raise four children by herself, but she did raise three. So I understand that a little bit. You see, one of the beautiful things about Scripture is that God is a God of compassion because he understands what we have to go through. He understands what it means to have a single parent raise a son. He knows when you have to be both mom and dad to your kids. He knows what it's like to work hard all week and come home and have to do all the work around the house. And then on Sunday, it would be so easy to sleep in when all you want to do is rest. And God knows how precious it is when you say that more than anything else in this week, I'm going to take the time to make sure my children are in the house of God. And when single parents do that, whether they're single moms or single dads, you can be sure that God will bless you for what you are doing, just as he blessed Mary. While it's true that Mary faced three major problems in her life, God gave her at least four major resources to help her cope with her struggles. And they're the same resources that God gives to all parents today. All women today especially. The first resource was her commitment to doing God's will. In Luke 1:35, when the angel said that you are going to have the Holy Spirit come over you and he's going to conceive a child and you are going to be born bearing the Son of God, Mary's response was, she simply said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." We read these words, but we don't understand how unusual they are in Scripture. For example, you have to remember that most people, when they are given an assignment by God, they balk at the task and they don't want to do it, and sometimes they go to the furthest ends of the earth to avoid it. For example, Moses was chosen by God to free the Israelites. And his response, rather than saying, "That's great, God, let's go ahead and do it," he gave God a list of excuses as to why he was so unqualified he couldn't possibly do it. When Jonah was asked to preach what we would call the gospel to the Ninevites, he chose to run in the opposite direction. I think Mary could have easily have chosen the same response as Moses, as Hosea, and many others. She could have said, "Lord, haven't you noticed? I'm not married. Haven't you noticed? I'm totally unqualified. Haven't you noticed what everyone's going to think of me? Don't you realize how many disadvantages this child's going to have growing up?" Instead, her response shows us that she knew who God was, the Lord Almighty, and that if God chose her, nothing would be impossible with God. And so with that type of attitude, Mary was able to see motherhood, even in her conditions, in her culture. She was able to see motherhood as an honor and a gift. It's just as challenging to raise a child in the Lord as it was 2,000 years ago. But what we need to learn today is that nothing is impossible when God is working in and through our life. The second resource that Mary had was that she had a solid foundation in her life that was built on God's Word. We know this because of Luke 1:46-55. I would encourage you to go home and read that scripture. But what we see in that short scripture, remember, this isn't something that she wrote down afterwards. This was her instinctive reply to the angel. And in that reply, there are more than 30 scriptural phrases or ideas found in the Old Testament. That meant that her vocabulary was peppered with the Word of God. It meant that she had studied the Word, that she had made the Word of God the foundation of her life, and it literally flowed through her mouth and through her life. And so she could praise God as a result of God's Word in her even when life seemed overwhelming. Her example teaches us that the mother who knows God's word and who praises God will make a huge difference in her child's life. Knowing that, mothers, let me issue you a challenge. This morning, how solid is your foundation in Christ? How thoroughly do you invest yourself in the Word of God? Are you able to instinctively recall scriptures and promises when situations come that you can rely upon? Because of God's Word in you, do your children see an example of a woman who is committed to Jesus Christ? The third resource that Mary had is that she had a godly husband. You know, sometimes we focus so much on Mary, on what it must have been like for Mary to be the mother of the Son of God, that we forget what it was like for Joseph during that day. He was engaged to a pregnant woman whose child was not his. And rather than get rid of her in a way that he could have stoned her to death, as you see happening in the Middle East at times today. Instead, he chose to divorce her quietly, to more or less take care of her and what we would call give her some money and put her aside, because he still loved her and wanted to protect her. And when the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because the child that is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." The response that Matthew had in Matthew 1:24, we see in the next scripture. Do we see in the next scripture, Connor? Okay. When Joseph woke up, notice what he did. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. This verse tells me that Joseph loved God so much that he was willing to go against the grain of his culture. He was willing to do what no man would do in his culture, and he would obey the word of the Lord, even though that meant living with whispers behind his back the rest of his life. "Hey, Joseph, who really got Mary pregnant? Hey, can you imagine that type of thing?" It meant raising a child who is not his. We've got a stepchild that one of my sons, when he married Amanda, he married Christabel. We couldn't be prouder of the way that he has made Christabel his own. It happens a lot, but it's still so unusual. Being the stepfather of Jesus meant being willing to abandon his culture and obey the angel and leave and go to Egypt. It meant means so many other things. But as tough as life ever was for Joseph, he remained committed to God and to his wife and to his family because of his relationship with the Lord Almighty. Now, today is not a Father's Day message. That comes in a few weeks. But what we need to learn from Joseph's example is that he teaches all men today that the two greatest things that we can do to affirm and support our wives are, number one, we need to be willing to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if God says for us to be the type of man that we need to be, even if it goes against the culture we are raised in, that means what we have to do. The second thing it means that we have to be willing to change our lives because of what we learn in God's Word, so that we can be a better husband and a better father, especially in how we demonstrate our love for God, our wife, and our children. You know, it's nice for us men to give flowers to our wives today, or maybe a card, or maybe you'll do the same mistake today that I made with my wife many years ago. I took her out to eat on Mother's Day. And we waited for 3 hours in line with four little kids. I will never do that again. We'll go on Saturday, we'll go on Friday, we'll go on Monday, but we'll never go out on Mother's Day again. Those things are nice. But you know, from God's point of view, there are some other gifts that we can give our mothers, the mothers of our children, that are so much more important. We can give her the gift of prayer, in which we lift her up before the Lord. We can give her the gift of daily encouragement when we understand how difficult it is to be a mother. We can give her the gift of being daily attentive to her and to her needs. We can give her the gift of together raising our children in the Lord. And when we do that, when we men learn to be the men that God has called us to be, that will mean more to our wives than any card we can give her once a year. The fourth resource that Mary had available to her is that she had a close friend. In Luke 1:39, after the angel leaves Mary, the scripture tells us that Mary went and spent time with Elizabeth, an older relative. Now, Elizabeth was also expecting a child, even though she was much older, and something that would have been physically impossible. And yet God, as the author of impossible, was able to have that Elizabeth have a child too. And so for 6 months, Mary and Elizabeth spent time together. Partially, I think it was to get Mary out of that culture where everybody would be whispering behind her back. But partially because Mary needed the encouragement to see what it was like for an older woman to experience the joy of God and birth. And for Mary to have that as well. Their friendship teaches us a significant lesson today. It's easy for mothers to feel alone and isolated and discouraged as they struggle to raise children today. But the friendship that existed between Mary and Elizabeth teaches us that women today need close friends, especially raising children together. Sometimes that's women in their own age group, but sometimes it means older women, a generation or two older, who understand what it's like to have been a mom. And so as we strive to imitate the church that God wants us to be, we have a challenge here that's pretty simplistic, but pretty powerful. To those who are younger women, I would challenge you, find someone in the body of Christ, find a woman that you respect, and say to her, "Will you be my friend? Can we spend some time together? When my husband's gone all week, and I need someone to talk to, can we get together for a cup of coffee? When it's the middle of the night and I need someone to call because I'm ready to strangle my kid, can I call you?" That's the type of support and friendship we need. To the older women in the church, and I'm not going to define what older is, okay? But to the older women in the church, my challenge to you is, adopt a younger woman. So many women today have the disadvantage of having moved away from their family. They lack that support system. And more than ever, they need someone in the body of Christ who is going to go to them and say, "You know, I've been in your shoes. What would it be okay if maybe I came over and babysat so you and your husband can go out to eat? Would it be okay if maybe we gave you some time alone? Would it be okay if we went out for a cup of coffee and talked?" When we begin to develop those relationships among women in the church, there's going to be a strength and a value added to motherhood that nothing else can. 2,000 years ago, God chose a young woman to be the mother of his son. And quite honestly, motherhood was a mixed blessing for Mary. It created some problems and pressures in her life that she had to deal with every day that she lived on this earth. But because God is gracious, it also included some resources that made life wonderful and enjoyable and sustainable. Motherhood is still a mixed blessing in this day. Being a mother means that you're going to encounter additional problems and pressures growing up in your family. But like Mary, if you as a mother will find and strive to find your strength in the resources that God has given you, in His will for your life, in His word for your life, if you're married in your mate and in your friends, then you will discover the joy and the beauty of motherhood that God has intended for you. Not just on this one day that we call Mother's Day, but literally every day for the rest of your life. Motherhood is tough, but with God, it can be a blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you very much for choosing Mary and saying, you are going to be the mother of the one person that will bless every other person on this earth. Thank you for the example of mother that we can share today through Mary. And for each of the mothers in our room today, we pray for them. We pray that you will sustain them with your strength and your joy, your encouragement and your love, your word. When times are tough, when motherhood is challenging, when the children look us in the eye and say, oh yeah, give us the ability to turn to you, just as Mary did so many years ago. Thank you for the joy that you give us in our everyday life, even as parents. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. The irony about Mother's Day is that it is a mixed occasion. For most of us, it's a joyous day. It's a day that we celebrate and we look forward to celebrating. But for many other people, Mother's Day is probably one of the saddest days of the year. It's a memory that maybe your mother has died. For those who are childless, it's a day that we feel empty and forgotten. If we have a poor relationship with our own mom, it's a day that we may feel guilty. And if we have rebellious children, it's a day that we may feel like a failure. Thankfully, God is the perfect parent that we can turn to when any of these feelings emerge on Mother's Day. The good news is that no matter what your family life is on this earth, God says, I want to give you a new family. As believers in Christ, if you have not yet chosen to join the family of Christ by becoming a believer in Christ, a Christian, our joy is to help you show how that can happen today. We're going to stand, we're going to sing our invitation hymn, and if you have that decision to make, please come forward at this time.